Hello, everybody, and welcome to Just Nah Science Podcast. Each episode, we debunk ridiculous yet common science misconceptions we find online and get just a little salty about them. I'm Lauren.
And I'm your favorite neuroscientist.
Wait, I
Nick,
didn't know.
No, not too bad. Before we get started, we recently started a blog post series to break down science articles and help you understand them better. It's called Understanding Science Articles, and I'm not good at naming things. Check them out on our website, justnasscience.com.
Today, we're going to discuss how people tend to think you can just cure depression and anxiety with a walk in the park. But it can be oh so much more than that.
So Lauren has a couple of tweets for us, and she's going to start us off as soon as she unlocks her phone.
Over and over again, especially on Twitter and everywhere, I see people just saying, like, you're feeling depressed, or if you're depressed, just go for a walk or get outside.
We'll get to the Twitter remedies later.
But don't disturb me.
Okay.
And here's a tweet from someone. They said, I am so sorry. I ascribe to the belief that to change your life, you must have different experiences. Learning a new language, skill, or hobby. Feed your brain new things. They love that. Even if it's just walking your dog a different path than usual. That was this person's cure for depression.
And some of those are great, right? Like the idea of learning a new skill or something is great. And if you have the time or the energy to do it, then sure. We're in the middle of a global pandemic, so maybe it might not be the easiest thing to do. But if you can, awesome. However, that probably won't be enough to rid someone of their depression forever. You have another one, yes?
Mm-hmm. This person says, everything you see, feel, hear, love, hate, fear, understand, and experience was constructed with you in mind. I'm not done. You are made from the same stuff as stars. No. Okay. This one stood out to me because as an earth science teacher, yes, I mean, if you believe in the Big Bang Theory, everything in this universe and in space, time, everything came from the Big Bang, which was basically a mixture of gases and things that stars and everything are made out of. So sure, we're all made of the same things billions of years ago, but I mean, I think this is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, we've changed significantly from the, you know.
And like, how is this supposed to cure my depression? You know what I mean?
It doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty, I guess. Like, it makes you feel kind of good. Like, oh, shit. Like, maybe my problems are not as significant as I think they are. But that's also a really gross overestimation of how severe people are taking this pandemic or just other things in general. And also some of the other medical or biochemical, physiological underlyings of things like depression. So, you know, I have some issues with that.
Right. Like a nice quote or a thought is great. Maybe like snapping you back into like perspective into things. Yeah. For curing clinical depression, it's another story. And then I found this other person who actually, I found him on a few different threads about depression. He just kept posting this poem and was like, oh, this is the most impactful thing I've ever read on the matter. And just keeps posting this. And I would read it to you, but it's very long.
Can we get a synopsis?
I'll read you two lines.
Oh, I guess that's all we need.
When the treasure keeper lifts you to weigh his gold and his silver, needs must your joy or your sorrow rise or fall. I know, I can't even read it. I'm not good at poetry.
Yeah, no, that's obvious
not
to everyone.
My thing.
It sounds like it's just trying to put life in perspective.
Yes, but I don't know, like when I was going through these and people were clearly reaching out for a human connection or like a lifeline through their tweets, I at least while looking through stuff was like dropping some like hotline numbers and New York City, NYC Well, like they have this program where you could call, text, chat someone, not just for depression, but for anything, suicidal thoughts, right? You're just feeling overwhelmed. So I'm like, I felt like that was more productive than dropping a poem. I don't know.
Listen, everybody helps in their own way, right? This person is doing what they genuinely feel is the right thing. However, is it what I would do? Probably not, right? But, you know, everybody has their differences. So, you know.
There was a lot of smoke weed responses.
There is some evidence behind using different psychoactive drugs to help things like depression, PTSD.
We've talked about that
on a previous episode. And it is a legitimate therapy, but I would use it under the guidance of a licensed healthcare or, you know, professional. You know, don't just listen to some dude on Twitter be like, fucking 420, blaze it.
Or your neighborhood drug dealer. I don't know. Just
yeah, I feel like there's a conflict of interest there.
Why?
Because they're trying to sell you drugs.
Yeah, now maybe the guy on Twitter is, but...
Right, you don't want to listen to your neighborhood. Hey, all your problems can be solved by smoking weed, which is coincidental because I sell weed. Like, that's a... Like...
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute.
So anyway, you know, I thought it would be relevant to at least talk about the criteria for depression, right? Just kind of quickly go over what is depression. And to get a diagnosis, like a clinical diagnosis of depression... According to the DSM-5, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, in the 5th edition, why are you laughing?
Because I'm just thinking about how long it took me to type that title as you were trying to read it out to me.
Excellent.
It was very sad.
So in order to get a diagnosis of depression, which is often clinically termed major depressive disorder, you need at least 5 out of the 9 criteria that are listed over 2 weeks. That's a change from normal, decreased pleasure, loss of interest, depressed mood. Those are some of the, you know, categories that these...
Weight loss or gain, insomnia or hypersomnia.
Yeah, there's a bunch. You need to have 5 of those 9, and you need to have 4 other criteria that are not what we just listed. And really the point of that is to exclude other diseases and to make sure that the impairment is severe enough that it affects your work or social life. Yeah, that's how you get a diagnosis of depression. And it was actually a study from September 2020, so just earlier this month, if you're listening to it, you know, now, that showed that during the COVID-19 pandemic, patient-reported symptoms of depression have tripled, and it's gone from 9 to 28%. And I want you to be really careful when you're reading news headlines, because one news article title said that depression rates have tripled, which may or may not be accurate. So the depression rate would triple if
3 times as many people were diagnosed with depression.
Right. But it sounds like, and I unfortunately didn't get a chance to read the full study, but it sounds like patients have self-reported symptoms of depression, which is not necessarily having depression. So I want you to make sure that when you're reading things, that you kind of keep those ideas in mind.
Well, then, yeah, they weren't necessarily diagnosed. I mean, we don't know. That wasn't really made clear. I mean, there were definitely times during the pandemic, especially in the beginning when New York was the epicenter, that I was definitely feeling like down some days or like really fatigued, because it's just like you're not going anywhere. You're just sitting around the house. You know, there are certain symptoms I'm sure you could pick out that a lot of people are feelings of being overwhelmed, but it wasn't clinical depression, you know what I mean? So I'm sure a lot of those symptoms definitely jumped up. And I heard that a lot throughout the last couple months. But again, doesn't mean you could feel depressed without having depression.
And it's not uncommon for depression symptoms to increase in individuals when some major tragedy or something like that happens, right? It also happened around 9/11, and it happened around... when there are all these protests happening in Hong Kong. Like, it's not uncommon for when global events such as this happen, then people will start to experience more depressive-like symptoms.
What actually does cause depression, right? What are some potential causes? So there could be structural changes in your brain compared to control patients, but we don't fully understand what these changes do. So do we not also understand like what causes these changes?
Nope.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, some of it probably has to do with genetics, which we'll talk about it in a second. Well, I guess we'll just talk about it now. Mm-hmm. People are more likely to become depressed if their family members are also depressed. So it wouldn't be surprising fully if people are inheriting some physiological or morphological change to their brain structure that's causing this. So I wouldn't be surprised if structural changes and genetics kind of go hand in hand. And I even wouldn't be surprised if the environment has something to do with it, because there is a whole field of study called epigenetics, which is how the environment affects the way your DNA is expressed. And so the environment does play a role in how your brain functions and how it's developed. It's why people are, it's why identical twins will grow up to be a little different, right? Maybe one will have cancer, one won't. Maybe one will do something else and the other won't. It's because of epigenetics, right? They have slightly different environments.
That does remind me. So my grandpa on my mom's side, actually, after he retired, it became very obvious that it had depression. Almost positive it was diagnosed, but I was a bit younger at the time. So I'm curious now, I want to ask my mom. Now I'm curious to know, like, if he was depressed earlier in life, but maybe just wasn't as noticed or whatever, and he's, you know, was going through the motion still, but because after he retired and he didn't have something to like keep him structured and his environment changed, it just like went downhill very quickly for him. So I'm very curious to ask my mom about that. But yeah, his environment changed, and that's what made me think, like, well, with him, I don't know if anything structural changes happened, but his environment certainly changed, and he probably didn't have something like keeping him going every day. So,
you know, it's interesting that depression is actually more common in women, but a lot of people think it's because it's actually just underreported in men, because women are much more likely to seek help compared to men, especially for any type
of health issues. Oh, yeah.
So it's possible that your grandfather did live with this for an extended period of time, and it might have been brought on by his retirement. It might have been brought on by aging. People who are aging are faced with their own mortality, especially as friends and other families start to pass away.
Or so, maybe it's just because the Yankees weren't doing as well. Huge Yankee fan. Had a whole room dedicated to them.
So there's a bunch of different reasons. And especially considering that he is older, historically, even still, there is, unfortunately, some stigma associated with seeking help or having some mental illness or mental health issue, which is ridiculous, right?
Absolutely. I mean, he was an old school Italian guy. He wasn't going to go to a doctor about this.
So underreporting is probably an issue there.
Absolutely. But another potential cause for depression is biochemical imbalances. And you hear this one in drug commercials a lot, like chemical imbalances in the brain. Blah, blah, blah. But yeah, so for example, you know, your neurotransmitter serotonin may not be made in high enough quantities for it to have an effect as someone without depression.
It might not be made in enough quantity. It might not spend enough time in the area it needs to exert its function. It might be destroyed too quickly. There's a bunch of different things that
Is it just serotonin, or is it other ones like dopamine and oxytocin?
It's when we talk about depression, the two that we are most focused on as far as medication treatments are usually serotonin or norepinephrine, but that's a topic for a different day. So when you hear things like Prozac, which is an SSRI, it's a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, and then you have things that are SNRIs, which is selective norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors. But those are just classes of medication, and they help serotonin and other neurotransmitters do what they're supposed to do to give you what?
Sometimes you just talk so fast. I don't know how you do it. Oh, my God.
If you think I talk too fast, let us know on social media.
But also one more big cause, potential cause, could be an imbalance in hormones, obviously, as well. And I can imagine that could really affect women in times like menopause and stuff.
Menopause, pregnancy, especially.
Pregnancy, yes.
Postpartum depression is, it can be very serious.
Oh, you know, my friend who's a school psychologist reached out to me the other day. She's reading this book. Maybe it's called Mother Nature. I have to look back at the text. She's like, yeah, I was reading something in this book and it reminded me of something you've been saying for a long time. This is a little off topic, but I don't care. I truly feel like a big part of postpartum depression nowadays is the lack of like extended family structures. The whole idea it takes a village to raise a child. A lot of us move, it's more common for us to move away from home or be away from family and raise children on our own rather than like have the family very involved. Some people still do, but many people don't. And I really do feel like that lack of support from, you know, your extended family members and whatnot, and your mother, mother-in-law, has led to more postpartum depression.
Wow, that was very off topic. So once a patient is diagnosed with depression or major depressive disorder, some of the treatments that they might receive are things like antidepressants, like Prozac that we mentioned before. They might receive psychotherapy. Then there's also some things that work. Maybe you've been on medication for a while and it's not helping. You can get what's called transcranial magnetic stimulation, TMS. And that's basically they put a large magnet next to your skull and it sends signals to help activate brain cells and get them to function properly. It's really cool.
I did not know that was even a thing.
Yeah, people still even get electroconvulsive stimulation, ECT, electroconvulsive therapy.
Isn't that what they used to do like?
Yes. Yeah, it is. And people still get it, but we have a little bit of a better idea of what we're doing with it now.
It seems so archaic.
It does, but, you know, for some people it does help. Coming up next, we have some Twitter remedies, and while some of them are kind of legit, others may not be very helpful.
I want to preface this by saying none of these are bad. You know, there's nothing wrong with doing anything on this list we're about to talk about. You know, if it helps you, great. However, I would not recommend any of these in lieu of seeking professional help from a licensed therapist, psychiatrist, or a psychologist. All right, but this is what Twitter has to offer for curing depression. Some say just go for a walk in the park or exercise.
That's it. That's all you gotta do. You're done. Don't worry about paying those expensive therapy bills. No more medication, no more copays. Just go for a walk, pump some iron, you're set.
Now, if you're not clinically depressed and you're just like in a funk, right? You're feeling down or something, like, you know, when the pandemic hit, Nick and I made a point to go out and walk around the park we lived by every single night. And it was like a nice like reset and like allowed us to like decompress. So that helps ward off like those like temporary feelings.
Yeah, and it helped us kind of, it gave us a chance to just talk and be with each other, and we're not like working or on our phones or doing whatever, and it was just really nice to unwind like that.
Right.
But if you have depression, then you're likely to respond to this by saying, I don't have the energy to get up out of bed and go walking. I don't want to go for an exercise.
Right.
I don't want to go for an exercise. What?
I don't even want to go for an exercise right now. But yeah, no, so it's easy for someone on the outside to tell people, like, just get up, go for a walk.
Yeah, just don't be sad anymore.
Eat healthy. You know, while these are all good things to do, right, and I'm sure they do help, again, having the energy to go to the grocery store and buy all these ingredients you need for these healthy meals or to go walk and exercise, it takes energy that some of these people don't have.
I do, I would say, all of the cooking in our house. And
yeah, pretty much.
Cooking is not easy, right? It's time consuming. It's
tiring. I don't enjoy it, actually.
I enjoy it, but it takes energy. It takes time. And like, especially after streaming on Twitch and when I'm cooking, I'm tired after. I am exhausted from just like two and a half hours worth of work. Because it takes so much out of you. I don't know how professional chefs are in the kitchen for like 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. And that's probably being generous. Like,
that's because they do a lot of cocaine.
Why are you trying to alienate any chefs that are listening?
It's just what I heard.
Okay. Well, thanks for that.
As we mentioned before, some people on Twitter just say, you know, like read poetry, just become more spiritual.
Yes, I see so many things talking about like spiritual awareness and spiritual enlightenment will solve all your problems, but oh yeah, I'm not gonna ask.
Or like I'm saying a prayer for you. I'm like, thanks and all, but that's not gonna help me.
Yeah, I mean, look, maybe it makes someone feel good to know that someone out there is like thinking of you and putting well wishes out into the universe or to their God or to whatever they're doing. And that maybe will make you feel good. Like, oh, someone's thinking.
Right, but that may make you feel good for like 30 seconds, listen, you know?
Hey, you know what? Maybe 30 seconds isn't all they need to pick up the phone and make a doctor's appointment.
Maybe, but something else has been coming up a lot, and we did been doing some research and looking into. They're called green prescriptions. So this is something that apparently New Zealand has been doing for a while. Scotland's been doing this since 2008, and more areas in the UK, like certain locations in England, are looking to do this more, and they've invested a good amount of money in it. So instead of turning right to pills right away for things like depression, anxiety, stress, they're giving people literal prescriptions. Like they're writing it down and having the patient walk away with something that tells them to go out in nature, right? Go for a walk, join a gardening club, a cycling club, or anything. There have been some studies that show, nature can definitely help boost your mood and stuff. But some of the research and stuff I've found does stretch that a little bit. So I don't know how much exactly on depression and nature there is, or if it's just like mood lifters. So I'm still a little hesitant about it.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting. You really wouldn't be able to do like a randomized, double blind controlled study because you'll know if you're going outside or not.
Right.
But you could do a randomized open label because of my time in working in clinical trials, which, by the way, I have done a fair amount of clinical trials that revolved around depression and bipolar with depression. I worked as a clinical researcher in a psychiatry office, so I have a lot of experience with this. And I was shadowing a psychiatrist and a psychologist. So, you know, I'm not a licensed practitioner, but I have a good, you know, background in all this.
And I have none. So.
So listen to Lauren and listen good.
Listen to me.
But it would be interesting to see a randomized study of people who are on, you know, standard of care, which would most likely be whatever medication it is, mm-hmm. people who get a green script or people who get both. And,
right.
you know, just to see what they're getting. I think it'd be a little unethical to do a placebo, especially considering how...
Well, you can't really give a placebo for a green script.
No, but you can give a placebo for standard of care or placebo. They can, you know...
Yeah, okay.
Or they can go
okay.
placebo plus green script.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that is a possibility. But they have to be getting some treatment. Otherwise, it's unethical. Anyway, that's really what I wanted to say.
Well, all right. So when I went down the rabbit hole and looking at like what New Zealand, so I went on some of their government websites about these green scripts. And I found it was interesting because nowhere, like even did Control F and search the pages, nowhere did it ever mention depression. It was all about physical activity and combating obesity. So then it made me wonder, like, all right, people are like quoting and referring to New Zealand as been doing this for years, but I can find nothing about doing it for depression. And but there was a study from the University of Exeter. I have no idea if I'm saying that right. But they said that 2 hours a week is associated with good health and well-being, which made me like a little like leery. So I looked through their study and actually does not list depression as one of their improved disorders. A lot of the stuff they mentioned was asthma, cardiovascular disease. Mental distress was on there, but I feel like they wrote that because they didn't want you thinking it was depression. Like I feel like they went out of their way not to list depression. So, you can't assume mental distress means that.
No, it could be if you're having some, you know, cognitive stressors in your life.
Yeah.
So, you know, that could be a fancy way of saying to unwind.
Right.
I don't know what the author's intentions were because I didn't read it. But yeah, if they don't explicitly state it, then it's not part of that study.
Exactly. So I do feel like some people are taking these studies and these initiatives and are stretching it over to depression. Don't get me wrong. it could help. And that's why I think the UK is starting this initiative where they're trying it out to see if it works. But I wouldn't put all my eggs in that basket just yet. Don't get me wrong, though. There's been plenty of times where I've personally felt in a funk. And I'm like, you know what? I need to go for a hike. I need to get outside. And I drive up to Bear Mountain and I do whatever. And it does help kind of like reset me. But that's, I know myself and I know what works for me. And I'm good.
And you're also not clinically depressed.
Exactly. So
that's kind of a big factor.
No, I'm saying time and nature can definitely help, right? Just feel good and kind of like get away from the busyness of your... Get away from the busyness of your everyday life. But again, for a clinical depression, I'm not so sure.
And the last thing that we see on Twitter, and I see everywhere, really, is the use of natural or herbal supplements. And listen, if you like taking it and you spoke to a doctor and they're okay with you taking it and the dose and frequency, then go for it. If it makes you feel better and you like taking it, then take it. But there was a study from 2007 that looked at 10 natural remedies, right? It was a literature review. So they were looking at all the different studies that exist and looking at the results. And they looked at 10 natural remedies for different mental health issues, and they found that only 2 of the 10 were, you know, had some type of significant evidence behind them, and that was St. John's wort for moderate or mild depression and kava for anxiety, but both have some potential side effects that you need to be cautious of.
Wait, what is kava?
I don't know.
I'm gonna Google this. What are some of those side effects?
I know kava can be associated with liver toxicity. St. John's wort can decrease the effectiveness of other medications. So it's important to know if you're taking other medications and you're also taking St. John's wort, then there's a chance that it might reduce the effectiveness of the medication you're taking. And if you're taking something like, I don't know, antibiotics, well, you might not want that.
Like me. So kava seems to be made into a beverage or an extract that is made from a plant
yeah, obviously. Root, I think. Yeah, well, they're all plants or plant-based of some kind. I just don't know what plant because I'm not a botanist.
Gotta love them herbs. I'm just kidding. Okay, well, that's going to do it for us today.
That's going to do it for us today. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and especially share it. It takes literal seconds to subscribe and click the 5-star review button, and it would mean a whole lot to us. Positive ratings and shares on social media are the biggest ways you can help us spread this good science to even more people. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at JustNatScience. You can also visit our website, JustNatScience.com, where you can watch YouTube videos, read blog posts, or submit questions and suggest topics for future episodes.
Don't forget, we put out new episodes every Tuesday. And as always, thanks for listening.
Later, nerds.
Later, gators.